Guess what's back? Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
And as always, it's good to be back with you in the studio here, Barry. We are dealing with some technical issues, but we're dealing with them, so...
Well, at least we're dealing with them and our audience doesn't have to.
That's right.
Well, but the one thing our audience is going to have to start dealing with, and this is more than a technical issue, Charles, is the fact that Obamacare is the, well, I hate saying the phrase, the law of the land, because it really isn't, but due to the court, it is. And even in this cycle of the silly season of campaign times with the debates, and yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're taping this prior to today's program, so the debates actually haven't happened yet as we tape, so we will report on those next week. But the debate, I'm sure, didn't really reach to this issue, Charles, and that is the Obamacare law and a particular provision of that Obamacare law, which many people didn't believe actually existed. But according to a major advisor to President Obama, not only do they exist, we need to get them ramped up. And what I'm talking about are the so-called, and I think the conservatives are the ones that put this moniker on them, the death panels. I think under Obamacare, it's considered by another name, the Independent Advisory Board, that will make some decisions on how health care is handled and distributed under the new regime of Obamacare. But the big problem, ladies and gentlemen, is that we now have somebody very close to the inside of the Obama administration, a gentleman by the name of Stephen Ratner. And Ratner was Obama's go-to guy for the auto industry bailouts. Now, what does he have to do about with health care? Well, it's all the idea of costs and what we're going to have to do in order to keep costs down. And Ratner has actually said that rationing health services under the new Obamacare regime is inevitable. In other words, all the things that many of us out there in activist land were saying was going to happen with the government getting involved in health care, now that they've got it in place, now they're finally admitting something that they refused to admit the entire time that this debate was going on.
Well, I think, honestly, that they've been willing to admit that rationing was going to eventually have to happen. But they didn't want to talk about it in terms of death panels. But that's exactly what a rationing committee would be. It would be a death panel, because what it would do was it would decide who gets treatment and who doesn't. And in very many cases, if you're old enough or sick enough, it's going to mean that they're going to decide that you don't get treatment, and no treatment means death.
Well, and the point is that this Stephen Ratner, who is an Obama advisor, actually wrote an op-ed piece, an article in the New York Times in September, where he specifically said, "We need death panels." Now, Chuck, there's no equivocation there. That's not beating around the bush. That's actually coming right out and saying it and putting it in print. But, of course, it's easy to do that now that you've gotten the Supreme Court and Chief Justice John Roberts to agree that as long as it's a tax, it's okay. And you can do that. So the Obama folks are feeling their oats right now. And I think that they're now really saying, okay, now we got to get people ready for what's going to come down the pike. But it's interesting that this comes out during this entire campaign cycle. And as far as I can tell, there's been pretty much radio silence, pardon the pun, ladies and gentlemen, radio silence from the Romney camp about these particular aspects of Obamacare. I wonder why that is.
Well, Barry, I mean, that becomes obvious. This was going to be free health care for everybody, no matter what age, no matter what illness you had, no matter what precondition you had. You were going to get free health care. Don't worry about it. We're going to rob from the rich to give to the poor, and everybody's going to have equal access to the best medical treatment in the world. And in fact, that was obviously nonsense. Anyone who studied the British National Health Service, the Canadian system, all the systems in Europe, essentially what happens is people are eventually shoveled off into a place where they're pumped full of painkillers until they die and not given those treatments. And so, in fact, do they have equal access to health care? No, they don't. they have the same access to health care that they had in the past, except for the fact that in the past, very often there were places, for instance, the county hospital system. I know in Ohio that the way the county hospital system works is you cannot be turned away for treatment, regardless of the ability to pay.
Because that may be changing, though.
Well, that will change.
It will change under the Obamacare regime, because a group called the Independent Payment Advisory Board has to put forward how they're going to pay for all of this so-called free health care. And Ratner's, honestly, you know, he's just being straightforward, Chuck. He figures out that it's going to have to do one of two things. Either you're going to have to raise costs because everybody's going to want health care, and so the amount of supply is going to be limited. When demand goes up and there's no increase in the supply, which Obamacare really isn't going to help increase the supply. As a matter of fact, there are more barriers to entry for in the medical profession with Obamacare than there ever has been. Then you end up with a spike in the price because you have more people demanding the same services, and therefore the price goes up. Or, on the converse, if you want to keep the price down and the cost and the expenses down, you're going to have to lower the supply to lower the demand.
Well, I have here the actual article written by Stephen Ratner.
Oh, okay, excellent. Well, I'm glad you pulled that up.
Now, here's what it says. We need death panels. And then the next line is, well, maybe not death panels exactly, but unless we start allocating healthcare resources more prudently.
Now, whose prudence are they looking for?
Exactly. Who's going to apply the prudence? Rationing by its proper name, the exploding cost of Medicare will swamp the federal budget.
Well, any state, anybody who's ever worked in state government knows that the cost of healthcare is swamping state budgets right now, so why not the federal budget? If they want to go ahead and dip into an area they have no constitutional authority being in, their boat's about to get swamped.
Okay, listen to this one, though, Barry. But in the pantheon of toxic issues, the famous third rails, quote-unquote, of American politics, none stands taller than overtly acknowledging that elderly Americans are not entitled to every conceivable medical procedure or pharmaceutical.
Well, Ratner may be sounding very cold-hearted to you, ladies and gentlemen, but he's actually, I hate to say it, Chuck, he's actually dealing in realities.
Yes, he is.
He's actually looking at it almost from a neutral position, if you can have an inside advisor to Barack Obama being neutral on anything. But he's really saying, hey, folks, you know, this system's now in place, and in order for it not to destroy us and bankrupt the country, guess what? All those things conservatives were arguing against Nancy Pelosi and company back in 2010 when the health care bill, when the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act was being dropped on members' desks less than 3 hours before a vote and being 3,000 pages long,
yeah,
is coming to pass. And he's starting to say, okay, now we're here. This is what we're going to have to do. Which is honestly, Chuck, this is the reason why situational ethics and our elected officials checking out on their responsibility, the first thing that should have happened with Obamacare, I know, hindsight's 2020, ladies and gentlemen, but the first thing that should have happened with any of our rocker conservatives was a filibuster.
Oh, absolutely.
That should have been first and foremost. But what happened was, oh, well, if we can get this piece out of it, and if we can get rid of this thing about the abortion mandate, well, Stupak, Bart Stupak's maybe, all of these deals started getting cut in order to keep this thing moving fast enough so that nobody had enough time to really grasp the deep implications of it or the fiscal effects.
Well, of course, the Bart Stupak amendment is already...
That's history. Well, that was a joke to start with.
Of course it was.
Stupak got suckered, and he knows he got suckered, and you could tell at the Democratic convention when he was speaking there, he realized that this was part of his payback for allowing them to rope-a-dope him.
Well, people in his district, I have an uncle who owns a piece of property in that district, and for a while he was a resident up there. He's since moved back to Ohio, but he used to vote in Michigan, and I can tell you that the residents up there call him Bart Stupid.
Well, we won't go there. It's sad that he had such faith in his party leaders that he was allowed to have this happen. But the point is, we've got too many people that have too much faith in their party leaders that they blindly look past the obvious in order to create their own meme, let's put it this way, about their favorite leaders. And, ladies and gentlemen, Barack Obama and their ilk pulled a very big, big trick on the American public, but they got help. They got help from John Roberts, who decided that as long as you call it a tax, this thing is constitutional, which it's not. And they got help from many of the congressional Republican leadership who, other than moaning in the press a little bit about it, didn't do the proper things in order to stop this train coming down the tracks. But Barack Obama also got great great deal of help from his opponent.
Absolutely.
Whose Massachusetts healthcare plan was the prototype model for Obamacare. And Mitt Romney is now out there telling, probably the reason why you won't see anything, I will be shocked. I'll just state this right now. I will be shocked, and you're hearing this after the fact, but we're taping it before the fact. I will be shocked if Mitt Romney talks about the Obama healthcare plan in any significant way during the debate.
Oh, he'd be foolish to bring it up.
Yeah, he would.
He'll get lambasted. Well, listen to this. Let's go back to Ratner for a minute.
Sure.
Most notably, President Obama's estimable Affordable Care Act regrettably, includes severe restrictions on any reduction in Medicare services or increase in fees to beneficiaries.
So in other words, what he's saying is the language in there keeps them from being able to directly ration or to jack the price up so high that it keeps people out of the market.
But hold on, there's a boogeyman to blame for this.
Oh, of course there is.
In 2009, Sarah Palin's rant about death panels even forced the elimination from the bill of a provision to offer end-of-life consultants.
Well,
no, it didn't.
No, it didn't, Chuck.
That's a lie.
Well, number one, even if they did get it out, now that the piece of legislation is now law and gives great power to an executive branch agency known as the Internal Revenue Service and the Department of Health and Human Services in the federal government, all it's going to take for the Obama administration is just to write more executive orders in order to, voila, bring it right back.
Barry, the bottom line here is, the problem has nothing to do with lack of regulation. It has nothing to do with doctors being greedy. It has nothing to do with hospitals being greedy. It has nothing to do with for-profit hospitals, although that's part of the picture. The fact is, what has caused this whole mess and what has brought around the hospital for profit? Because remember that hospitals were originally started by churches as charitable outreaches.
That's right. Here in Central Ohio, you have Riverside Methodist Hospital. You have St. Anne's, which is a Catholic based hospital. You have all of these venerable hospitals.
Mount Carmel,
which is obviously Catholic in its flavor, were all started by churches.
Yeah, exactly. What has gone on here is that the federal government started meddling in the mid-1960s in the insurance industry and the healthcare industry. And every time they meddled, they thought they were solving one set of problems and they created an entirely different, worse set of problems. And every time they've gone back to fix the worst set of problems, they've created an even worse set of problems. And the fact is, now we've gotten to the point where, well, we're going to just have to allow some people to die in order to make this system work. Well, how's that any different than the system as it existed in 1965? Because the fact is, not everybody could get life-saving care in 1965 either.
Yes, but that was only because in many areas, it was miles and miles to get from rural areas to a hospital that could provide that life-saving care. Also, areas where people couldn't afford some of the costs. But now, it isn't so much that. It's the fact that some unelected bureaucracy is going to determine, well, okay, you're past a certain age where it's economically feasible for us to continue to keep you living and healthy, or your condition that you have is of such nature that you'd be better off dead.
Well, we all want top-notch care, and we all want the whiz-bang equipment when we're banged up, but the fact is we don't want to have to pay for it. And that's the bottom line. As you were witness to, I have had some online debates with people on some of this having to do with Obamacare, and in every case, the argument had to do with the fact that the person had pre-existing conditions that caused their insurance to be extremely expensive, and they wanted me to pay for it.
Right, and honestly, Charles, what happens is that people forget that insurance, we want to gripe and complain about our insurance rates. Insurance is a pool of people. The company is covering their potential costs, but they have to plan ahead for that, and if they start seeing that there's a trend that people are eating, all of them have high cholesterol or are all smokers or what have you, they understand that that is going to create an escalating ramp up of health care cost needs as these people go deeper into whatever a disease or health issue that they have, and that cost has to be spread out. But the point is that, as you said, a lot of people believe that in trying to get the lowest deductible possible so that insurance will cover everything else, and
right,
so they don't care about the costs anymore. It's tough until we get to our deductible, but then we're going to go and get treated like there's no tomorrow once we've covered our annual deductible.
And Barry, I mean, that particular mentality raises the cost. Now, my doctor is constantly yelling at me because I don't go Now, I go twice a year now because I'm on blood pressure medication and I'm on, she's watching a couple of things because I'm in my mid-50s. And the fact is, if it were up to me, I wouldn't go unless I was sick. My kids hadn't been in there for like 3 years and they're like, why haven't you brought your children in to be looked at? And I'm like, because they weren't sick.
Exactly. The point is, it's health care, and the best health care that you could possibly have is self-care. Preventative care.
Exactly.
Watching what you eat, figuring out your body's metabolism and things of that nature, taking the right supplements, not doing things that are detrimental to your health, like high-risk activities or high-risk habits such as heavy drinking or
smoking
like a freight train or things of that nature. Those are the ways we keep healthcare costs down. But the problem is that that would create a level of personal responsibility that many people, I don't know, understand the concept.
No, we're out of time, Barry. I wish we had more time because there's more to this article. We'll have to let you folks read it and come to your own conclusions on this. We've given you some of the major problems in the article. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.